Let's join together in prayer this evening, shall we pray? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, at the beginning of our time together, we just pray for your presence and blessing. Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we look into your word. So, Lord, again, we thank you for the joys of this day. We thank you, Lord, for the strains of this day. And yet we thank you that we can join together at the end of this day together around your word. So, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our chapter tonight is chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. We're doing the study, of course, on Samuel. The more I do this, the more I realise that Samuel doesn't get what I would call the lion's share of the chapter. He's always there, and he's always in the background, but he's always doing what God asks him to do. We start off in verse 1 where it says, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, for he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both men and women and infants and nursing child, ox and sheep and camels and donkeys." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Terem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Canaanites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Sur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the ox and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, "I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal." Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the ox to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little, in your own eyes, Were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the plunder, sheep and ox, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed in the commandments of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honour me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. And Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death has passed. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gilead of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. As I said at the start, Samuel's not the main character tonight in the story, yet he is, in a sense, the most important of the characters. And we are looking at the character of Samuel. So, start at verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Heed is the word there. Heed, to listen, to pay severe, complete attention to the very words that Samuel is going to speak to Saul from the Lord. Then he goes, verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. Now he ambushed him on the way when he came up out of Egypt. And we can find a reference to that in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 and 18, which says, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Amalek struck me. Where'd he come from? Who was he? What was he? Samuel, at this time in his life, was anything between 85 and 110. Times vary whichever books you tend to read. So Samuel's getting on. We know he's getting on, for two chapters earlier he said that he'd given up the work and he passed it to his sons, and they were not up to the task, and their people asked for a king. And then we had Saul being made king. So we're looking at an old Samuel. And God has come to him and said that it's time to punish Amalek. Now Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And of course Esau was the brother of Jacob. So you have a relationship. They were of the tribe, or they were of the lineage of Abraham. They came from that line. But to have relatives of yours, as it were, attack you, and attacking God and having no fear of God, you have the contrast. So now's the time that God has said, you've been in your land, you've settled, it's now time for Amalek to be punished. Now God used Amalek to punish Israel on one occasion at Hormah, and that's it. We can be found in Numbers chapter 14, verses 43 and 45. Saul was to pay heed, listen, pay great attention to what Samuel is saying, because these words came from God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both men and women, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Total annihilation of the sinner. Total annihilation of this tribe. Kill the men. Kill the women. Kill the babies. Kill the little ones. Annihilation. Then kill the ox, the sheep, the goats. Everything they possess must be destroyed. So that at the end of the day, there's nothing left of Amalek. He's gone. He's faced his punishment. God has punished him. And that was a long time ago when he first sinned against God and attacked Israel. But God didn't punish him straight away. He's kept it until the people of Israel was established and they have a king. And now King Saul has been told to go and avenge. Go. So Saul gathered all these people. And he gathered 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and he laid waste in the valley, laid secretly in the valley, and then they attacked. And before he attacked, he said to the Canaanites, go, depart from this place. This is another tribe living within a tribe. Amalek was a group of people that lived in towns and were nomads as well, so they spread quite a lot in the south. The Canaanites departed because they had been good to Israel. Even Moses' father-in-law was a Canaanite. So again, there's a relationship there with God's people. So some of the people in Israel were related through Moses. So they went and they departed. And that left Saul free to go and attack the Amalekites. And he did that. And he destroyed them from Havilah and all the way to Zer, which is east of Egypt, which is nearly right up to the Red Sea. Now, this is where we come, as I said, Samuel's done his bit, he's brought the word of God, he's left the instruction, and he's sunk back into the background. And this is all for Saul, the warrior, as it were, of God, the one doing what God wanted him to do. So Saul attacked the Amalekites, and he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the ox, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. Unwilling, it says, unwilling to utterly destroy them. So Saul has made a conscious decision not to obey God, not to heed the word of God. They've got to a point in the battle where they've taken the king, they've captured him, he's now a prisoner. They weren't told to take any prisoners, they were told to destroy. And they've looked at the cattle and the sheep and the cows and the oxen, and they said, these are great, they're healthy, there's nothing wrong with these, we'll have these. But they were told to destroy totally everything that belonged. I put it a little bit, if someone was destroying in the last war, they came and they bombed. They were totally destroying the buildings. All that was left was rubble. There was nothing left of what was lived there. The infrastructure had gone. But Saul and the people had made a conscious decision to ignore the word of God. Verse 9 says, but Saul and the people spared. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Samuel comes back into our story. He's been at home, probably very anxious of how the battle was going. But if the Lord has sent you on the battle, then you're going with victory. You're going to win. Because the Lord has gone before you. The Lord has prepared the way. And he's at home, and the word of the Lord comes to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. For he has turned back from following me. He's not heeded my words, and he deliberately made a decision against my words. Carry on in the verse, and he says, has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Now Samuel has been grieved, an old man, and he'd set up a king under the direction of God, and that very king that he had anointed and brought into and crowned and gave him to the people has now failed again. And Samuel cries in prayer all night to God. But when Samuel rose early in the morning to go and meet Saul, Saul had already gone. Saul had gone to a place called Carmel, and he'd erected a statue there of some description to praise his great victory. Praise his great victory, not God's. Now, verse 13, when Samuel finally catches up with Saul, Saul sees Samuel and he runs to him and he says, "Blessed are you in the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." How would that sound? Samuel knows he hasn't. Samuel's got to stand there and listen to it. Verse 14, "But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the ox which I hear?" So it's obvious he hasn't fulfilled the commandments of God. The evidence of his sin is there, to be seen, to be heard. And Saul said, "They have brought," and I love this, "they," not me, "they have brought them from Amalek, for the people spared the best of the sheep, of the ox, and the to sacrifice to your God." See, we're good. We've saved the best so that we can offer it to God. When you think that they were to be slaughtered as a punishment for sin, it's not the sort of gift that God was asking for. They are looking at something from a human perspective of what they could see and what they could get out of it. And they were taking back, "Well, we've slaughtered these people, we've done what God wants, we're going to take something for ourselves." And they've taken it, and it nothing to do with Saul, it was they went and done it, they're the people, they've done it, I'm just the king. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." Last night. So Samuel is telling Saul, isn't he, that "I know all about your sin. I know all about the problem. I know where you are. Because last night, God spoke to me." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, you were not head of the tribe of Israel. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" That means when you weren't the king, you were humble. And you did, and you listened, and you obeyed. Now you're the king, he's become full of self-importance. And he's got to confront this old priest, this old head of the nation. It's old priest that loved and looked after the nation. And he's confronting with him. "You were king over Israel. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed." Consumed, a great fire that's burnt the wooden table, and it's consumed. It's no longer a wooden table, it's a pile of ashes. A good dinner on a plate, and you've eaten it all. It's consumed. You wouldn't know what was there before the dinner started. You've consumed the meal. It's disappeared. You were told to go and consume, destroy, and you haven't. Now, verse 19. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed." Isn't that strange? There's the bleating of the sheep, the noise of the cattle. Samuel's just told him that you haven't done it, and he said, "But I have obeyed. I have done what I was sent out to do. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. And that's good. He's brought back a king which shouldn't be there. Someone that should have been destroyed in the battle. Someone that shouldn't have any semblance. He's gone. But no, I did what the Lord said, and I brought this to prove. I brought this live king back to prove it. I have utterly destroyed Elimelech. No, he didn't utterly destroy Elimelech. King Saul failed to obey God's instructions. And that tribe stayed in and around Israel for many years. King David, when he took over from Saul, wasn't able to totally defeat them. They weren't wiped out as a living tribe or nation until King Hezekiah. And that was in the years of Hezekiah, which was 716 BC to 687 BC. There was quite a range, and they were slowly wiped out by King Hezekiah because they were a thorn in the flesh. They were antagonistic. The Amalekites remained in the land and finally destroyed as a nation. Now the final descendant of Agag was finally destroyed in Persia. And you know the story of Esther. And Haman was an Agagite. And he was destroyed when he tried to destroy the Jewish nation in Persia. And God had raised up Esther and Mordecai to defeat him. God has a plan. God knows the end from the beginning. And God puts in time and place everything for himself. And that time in Persia was approximately 606 years to totally destroy Amalek. Now Samuel's talking to Saul and he's saying all these things are right. He says, but has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? As in obedience, obeying the voice of the Lord? Which comes first, obedience or sacrifice? Is coming to church my priority or living as a Christian my priority? Living in faith. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than to heed the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is trying to seek understanding and knowledge without God. In actual fact, the opposite to God. And that's what rebellion to God is like. Samuel has to look in the face of this king and tell him that, this old priest, this old leader. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Saul has been stubborn not to obey, and it's like idolatry, and he's already self-worshipped by putting up a monument to himself. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you. We then have the story of Saul repenting, blaming the people again. We then have them come and worship, come and sacrifice. And Samuel wasn't going to go back with Saul. God had cut him off. Samuel was going to turn away and go back. And as he turns away, Saul reaches out to grab his coat, and the coat tears. And Samuel turns around to him and says, "As like that coat is torn, so the kingdom of God has been torn from your hands." So Samuel said, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and he has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie and relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. The strength of Israel is God. And that's what Samuel's saying. God, the very strength of Israel, is not like you or me. He won't turn back. He's made his mind up. That's what he'll do. He won't relent. And yet we find that Samuel does return with Saul and sacrifices, and Saul worships the Lord. And then we read that Samuel's got Agag there, and Agag thinks he's okay. He came a little cautiously, we read in verse 32, and Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death has passed." But Samuel gave him the judgment of God. Samuel took the sword and cut him in pieces. For an old man, he must have had some strength to cut someone in pieces. And Agag has died. Then Samuel went to Ramah, that's his home, and Saul went up to his house in Gilead. And Samuel went no more to see Saul. King Saul is now totally on his own. Samuel never sees him again to talk to anyway. Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made King Saul king over Israel. Samuel still has great regret, and you can imagine him praying for Saul. Says he never sees him again until his death, and that is sometimes controversial, because it was after Samuel's death that Saul desperately wanted to find out what God's will was, and he went to a medium and he asked her to bring up someone he asked to bring up, which turned out to be Samuel. And it says originally that the spirits were there, and then it said Samuel came up and, under the guidance of God, spoke to King Saul and told him of his demise in the battle. It says Samuel mourned for Saul, and says in verse 35, and Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death, that's Saul's death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Samuel, the man of God, faithful, had to face the monarch with great courage, and yet he still had a love for the king, that he mourned for him and prayed for him. And then we have chapter 16, if we carry on another time.
Our Father and our God, we give you praise and we give you thanks for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the times we've been here and enjoyed the friendship and the fellowship that we share. And Father, we pray now that you will dismiss us from this place with your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.